Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing via Skype today with us on ABQ Connect. Paul is the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, welcome into ABQ Connect.
Hey, Jim. Good to be here.
You have been most gracious, my friend, in keeping us up to date what's going on with the budget. You actually warned us before the current budget was adopted that, boy, there's sure a lot of volatility in the oil and gas business. And, of course, that was before we saw gas or barrels of oil dropped into negative territory, Paul. So now we're back up around $20 a barrel, still not at a level where we can make money. But I want to pick up where we stopped last time and just throw the ball into your court. We've got a lot to discuss about the New Mexico budget, don't we?
We do. Unfortunately, the governor, at least, hasn't really been doing a lot of discussing of the budget. Mm-hmm. Now, since we last talked, there has been a little bit more discussion about the budget from legislators. Brian Egolf, the Speaker of the House, had an article in the Albuquerque Journal basically saying this is the worst crisis we've ever had in the state economy. He didn't offer any specifics, but he did outline some concerns and thoughts, and it was good to see somebody in a position of power like him talking about the budget situation. Other folks, including several high-profile legislators, Patty Lundstrom, Senator Steve Neville, Lundstrom a Democrat, Neville a Republican. Of course, John Arthur Smith has been front and center, at least spitballing, if you will, some ideas in the Santa Fe New Mexican about what needs to be cut in the economic downturn, and that's the right discussion to be having at this point. But the governor, of course, recently named an economic recovery council. There's a lot to discuss and unpack with regard to those folks, but the governor herself has really been practically silent on the budget and on the broader economic issues. And she's got this economic recovery council that, there's a lot to talk about with regard to these folks.
Well, and Paul, I know that the Rio Grande Foundation is an organization. You do a lot of research. You're bipartisan in your approach. You are fairly conservative, obviously, fiscally. And you want money managed well. I'm a retired banker, and I remember just trying to teach people you need to spend less money than you have in your bank account seemed very fundamental for someone doing business loans. And I would take very wealthy individuals. And what I found was very common, Paul, is that a lot of people don't know how to balance their checkbook, and it appears that is much more common when it comes to politics. And I know it's difficult. I mean, I'm not saying that this isn't one of the biggest challenge, if not the biggest challenge of our lifetime, because we've lost revenue in so many areas. We've lost gross receipts tax. Our businesses are shutting down. And I don't mean just shutting down for stay-at-home rules. They're on the verge of shutting down permanently. I know I was down at a business near Coors and Alameda the other day, and I saw that they had removed this one building, and I won't mention who it is, but all of the signs, all of the tenants, and about five or six different tenants in this one building, all the signs are removed. I went and peeked in the window, and all the furniture, everything's gone. So it looks like that may be one of the first casualties of this economy. So let's start with the Economic Recovery Council that the governor has nominated, and have you start that.
Yeah, and folks can go find details on who these folks are exactly at newmexico.gov. Interestingly enough, and kind of just kicking it off, you cannot find contact information for the Recovery Council at large, so there's no specific means for which average citizens have to reach out to let these folks know anything. You can try through the governor's office, and of course those folks are overwhelmed these days with everything happening. Mm-hmm. So the first complaint is the kind of lack of transparency, lack of responsiveness that these people can or would have to average citizens, and they're operating essentially behind closed doors per the governor. So the meetings will have, you know, no public input. Even the amount of information coming out of this recovery council is going to be very limited. And the Albuquerque Journal, a lot of transparency groups, Rio Grande Foundation, we're all concerned, and the Journal commented on this over the weekend. I think it's really concerning, but I think even more so than the transparency issue is what took her so long. You know, this is a group that could or should have been named as this crisis was getting started back in mid-March, as we, you know, the governor particularly moved forward with massive shutdown of New Mexico's economy. And, you know, having a discussion at the outset about how much of the economy can we really afford to shut down, and should we be more nuanced in our approach? I think those were topics that we could have had discussed much earlier. Now we're, you know, talking early May here, and these folks are just starting their work. It really is unfortunate we didn't have more of a conversation about the economy in the first place, because a lot of analysts across the political spectrum are saying that the kind of the crisis economically is going to be even worse than the crisis from a healthcare perspective and health perspective. So it's a those two issues right off the bat are some of the big concerns that we have with the makeup of this particular entity.
Paul, I have to throw in my two cents worth. I'm thinking that for the Democrat Party in the state of New Mexico, they're the dominant party. They control the governor's office. They control the state Senate and the legislature. Why would they not have public open discussions about what they are considering and thinking about? Are they afraid they're going to be open to scrutiny? Because on the other side of the table, both the Republican Party in our state, the Republican Party nationally, which, of course, they control the White House, but they don't control the House or the Senate. So they're at least engaging in conversations that are out there before the public. And this past Friday, we had businessman Buck Buckner. He owns the Rain Tunnel Car Spas in Albuquerque. And part of the program, he shared that he had reached out via a couple of business networking groups, which included all of the local car washes in Albuquerque. And even though they're competitors, they all got together and they decided, hey, how can we operate safely? What are the things we can do? What are the assurances we could give the leadership of the state of New Mexico to see that we are thoughtfully thinking about the process of reopening, thinking about first about protecting our employees and our customers, making sure things are safe, making sure that we can start a little economic recovery and start, you know, generating business, getting people employed, et cetera, et cetera. He reached out to their office via emails, via letters, and every other method that he could possibly find, and did not receive one response from the governor's office. That's surprising me.
Yeah, not only surprising, but deeply unfortunate. And it's one of the things that, you know, looking at this whole situation, and we're not in a retrospective situation. Still, people are dying. There is a lockdown in Gallup, New Mexico right now. So there's a lot of current issues going on from the health side of things. However, the idea that you lump all businesses into two categories of essential or non-essential, and then you act in that context moving forward, I think was generally flawed from the very beginning. You know, we didn't know a lot about this particular virus beforehand, and I think a lot of folks in public policy, you know, governors, president, on down health reacted very quickly, kind of knee-jerk. You know, you do something. And that's fine. I think the initial reaction was okay as far as it went. But once we kind of got a handle on this is the real threat this virus is creating for us, there should have been a shift in focus in terms of businesses and staying open from, you know, realistic security and health measures, social distancing, whatnot that could have been implemented, as opposed to the broad this is an essential business, this is not an essential business. Because, you know, first and foremost, all businesses are essential in the sense that, you know, there's people working, there's people paying taxes, there's people supporting their families, and we want to provide an avenue for those folks to be out and being productive, as opposed to stuck at home, unable to work, and ultimately winding up having to receive welfare checks. And it's, you know, the whole idea of an arbitrary individual, whether, you know, they're the governor or somebody else, labeling all business either essential or inessential, non-essential, is really, I think, the heart of central planning. It's everything that the Rio Grande Foundation opposes at its very core. We need individuals and a bottom-up approach to determine what businesses should be still in existence moving forward, or whether they should open, whatnot. It's just not something that one individual, whoever that may be, should be able to decide. And it's one of the real flaws with this whole process, not just here in New Mexico, but many other states have acted the same way.
Yeah. Paul Gessing is the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, we're going to cover some pretty big topics. Reading from the Santa Fe New Mexican, an article that you directed me to, it talks about us being as much as $400 million short in the 2020 budget, while revenues for the 2021 fiscal year could be as much as $1.6 billion short of projections. And the big problem is none of us know. None of us know where the revenue is going to come from. We don't know if oil and gas is going to recover. We don't know how much gross receipts we'll be collecting. So there's a bunch of unknowns. These questions are massive. So when we come back, Paul, we're going to start to talk about some of your ideas about, you know, not taxing New Mexicans, but trying to recover the economy without raising taxes and some of these bigger issues. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Next, here's Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute.
God wants us to be generous, to dig deep and give cheerfully to his work. But it's not really because God wants something from us. He wants something for us. He knows generosity makes our lives fuller and freer. It brings us joy and releases us from being captive to a materialistic view of life. Listen to Proverbs 11:24. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. In the Message, that verse reads, "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller." And the verse after it, Proverbs 11:25, "The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed." May God bless you as you give generously.
And you can learn more about trusting God and becoming a wise money manager when you contact us online, moneywise.org.
We can change the world with the words we say. Hi, I'm Lisa Turkers with Proverbs 31 Ministries. One day, I was eating in a restaurant, and every time our server came to the table, she had something really kind to say. I was amazed by her gracious attitude, and I found it was quite contagious. So I challenged myself to make a conscious effort to use my words as a gift to each person that I came in contact with the rest of that day. You know, in a world that promotes tearing others down to build ourselves up, we can make a difference by using our words to bless and encourage. Let's look at those who we come in contact with today as people who really need a kind word or two. I've found that giving kind words, it's one of the greatest ways to make the love of Jesus known to so many who desperately need it. For more, visit Proverbs31.org.
This is A Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
I see a perspective. There's a great perspective that Ruth has. And it comes from what has been written down by Stephen Covey in his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People as this idea of habit number 2, beginning with the end in mind. If we want to be a great leader and we want to live beautifully and live well, we don't just live in the moment. We go to the end we want and we reverse engineer our life. And if you've read that book by Stephen Covey, he talks about actually going so far as to plan your funeral service in your head. And okay, you're there at the funeral service because it's coming. It's barreling like a freight train towards you. You never stop moving towards it from the second you were born, but today there's less life in front of you than there was yesterday. So your funeral's coming closer, and yes, it could be 60 or 70 years from now or late, but ladies and gentlemen, it could also be 20 years or 20 days from now.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
Knowing God from Harvest America with pastor and evangelist Greg Laurie.
1 Thessalonians 4, it says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remaining shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Lord is coming back again. Sometimes this is called the rapture. There is a generation that will not see death, but they will be caught up in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and hurled into God's presence, reunited with loved ones who have died in faith and have gone before us. And we're closer today to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been in human history. The terrorism, the instability, the violence, the trouble with nations, the fear in the air, all signs of the times. The Bible told us these things would happen. But the Bible also says, Jesus speaking, when you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption is drawing near. So let me ask you a question. If that trumpet were to blast, would you go to heaven? What if this were the day Christ would come back and call us to heaven? Would you be one of the ones who would be taken into his presence? Or would you be one of the ones who would be left on this earth? Because that will happen for many. But all who believe in Jesus will go to heaven.
You are created to know God. Find out how to begin a relationship with him by going to knowgod.org. Already know God? Invite a friend or family member to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Answers to questions about the Christian faith, instructions for growing in your relationship with the Lord, and video messages from Pastor Greg Laurie can all be found at knowgod.org.
Listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Paul Gessing, Rio Grande Foundation's president. Paul, thank you so much for the time that you spend with us. And I'm always intrigued with everything happening on your website in between the times that we visit. I mean, we only have 10, 12, 15 days. And I got to tell you, your website has so much great information. And I want to have you direct everybody to the website and tell them what resources are available there for them to look at.
Yeah, riograndefoundation.org is our main website. You can find a lot of great information, including recent media appearances. You can find at riograndefoundation.org/pledge. You can find our pledge that we are encouraging legislators and legislative candidates to sign, that they will not raise taxes as a result of this government shutdown of our economy and the, of course, budget crisis that we now face as a state. We think that, as a bare minimum, policymakers should focus through the end of the 2021 legislative session. So just under a year from now, about 11 months from now, they will be out of that 60-day session. And we really think it's critical that business not be further imposed upon, that government, quite frankly, which I think is increasingly clear, caused a lot of this crisis, that government is the one that finds the cuts and makes the situation whole with regard to government spending. So it's going to be challenging, but we think legislators should be definitely on board with that. Then heirsofenchantment.com. Mm-hmm. is our regularly updated blog. It's more timely. It's more kind of focused on day-to-day occurrences. And there's a ton of other information, including, we've got a primary coming up in early June, and we rate all the legislators based on their votes on issues of individual freedom and personal liberty at the Freedom Index. And we've done that for several years, going back to 2015. Folks can find that information as well. So there's a lot going on. And then Tipping Point New Mexico, we have a regular podcast where we talk about important issues of the day, interview folks. And Jim, I have to say, you will enjoy Corey DeAngelis, who really fights very aggressively. He's a school choice expert, and he does some really awesome stuff on social media where he calls out politicians for their hypocrisy when they fight against school choice for other people's children, and then they send their own kids to private schools. And Corey is a bulldog. He's a fighter. He's a young guy, and I interviewed him last week, and it's one of the most recent podcasts available over at tippingpointnm.com. So we keep very busy at the Rio Grande Foundation.
Yeah, and Paul, you have another website. I know that you've got a little plan in place for a fair proposal for getting back to business in New Mexico. Tell us about that website.
Yeah, that's right. We co-released a website called Fairly Open. It's fairlyopen.com. It's really Fairly Open New Mexico, but we figured Fairly Open was an even better URL for the website. A group called Power the Future New Mexico and us, we went ahead and came up with some basic concepts, not making recommendations to the governor about whether 6 feet or 8 feet or 10 feet or put a mask on or not put a mask on or whatever was the right approach, but just half of it is open, like what specific policies can we publish and make clear for everybody in the state that we can open New Mexico, and how can we do that fairly? So I'm really proud of the kind of campaign idea and the URL that we got, because Fairly and Open really encompass the campaign that we're putting forth, which is also about process, being open. And unfortunately, the Economic Recovery Council is definitely contrary to the idea of openness. We need policies, whether it's how do we arrive at the social distancing standard that we have, but how do we impose that across all businesses in our state? Or how do we, have meetings and discussions about the very real economic situation that our state faces? And is the information those people are discussing and recommending, is that information available? And how does that whole process work? And unfortunately, I think we need to talk a little bit more about the Economic Recovery Council and some of its members specifically, but it's a very unfortunate way that she's done this in terms of the lack of transparency and openness and even ability to reach out to some of these folks as a group and just say, here's information we'd like you to consider. That is really not available at this time.
Well, and Paul, I should qualify directing us back to the Economic Recovery Council. Before I do that, I want to qualify that a little bit with things that you say, because I haven't heard you say a thing in any of the interviews we've done, and we've probably done six or eight now throughout last year and this year. And again, very thankful for the information you provide and the research. But everything that you say is typically backed up with quite a bit of research, quite a bit of discussion. You formulate ideas by assembling best practices and things from other states and other people, and you throw in some good ideas yourself, but those are also vetted and they're carefully considered. And not that you're right about everything, but I think that you do a really good job of trying to be fair and trying to be conservative in your approach. You want to spend less money that's in the state's checkbook, et cetera. So with that in mind, for example, when you say you want people to sign a pledge not to increase taxes, that's really based on data coming out of a national study, isn't it?
Yeah, we've looked at New Mexico's budget frontwards, backwards, upside down, all around. And, first and foremost, New Mexico does spend a lot of money relative to other states. We also looked at information from the Mercatus Center, which is a ranking of states and their citizens specifically by ability to pay more taxes, and found that study found that New Mexicans can afford, this is a 2018, so before the crisis, of course, but it found that when it comes to the ability for its citizens to pay more taxes, New Mexicans were the very last in terms of U.S. states that were simply already taxed more than enough to pay for the government that we have. And it's something that policymakers need to understand, that we don't have the myth, of course, is always that the businesses or the people always have some kind of magical money tree in their backyards that they can pay for additional government regulations, government taxes, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Mercatus Institute basically said that of the people in the U.S. states, all 50 of them ranked top to bottom, New Mexicans have the smallest, the least well-nourished money trees of anybody to go pay for more taxes and more government. And obviously, that situation has just grown far more dire as we've been in this economic downturn crisis. It is a national study, and be happy to – it's been blogged and put up on our Errors of Enchantment. I always cite the quotes and whatnot. But I do want – I want to run through a few of the folks on the Economic Recovery Council, not to totally change direction.
Good.
But I really think it's important to talk about some of these folks, especially since they're meeting in private. They're not really going to be putting their names and what they believe and what they're fighting for on this council out in front. Now, it is worth noting, and I'll commend the governor. She's a pretty liberal Democrat, even progressive, but she named Brian Moore, a former state legislator, and he worked with the governor, Governor Martinez, I want to say maybe chief of staff or something, but he was a higher up with Governor Susana Martinez. He also now represents the counties of the state of New Mexico, the Association of Counties. He's on that council. I just wanted to commend her for considering somebody like that. And I don't know all these people, so I'm just citing who they work for. There's a lady who is an administrator for a hospital in Santa Rosa. We know how hospitals have, in particular, and health providers have been decimated by this situation. You know, when we started out, we were all told that we thought hospitals would be packed wall to wall with people. It turns out that a lot of the hospitals are just losing money hand over fist because they don't have enough patients, because all the elective procedures have been eliminated by the governor and her order. Although, to commend her, again, she did recently open things up a little bit on that front. So there's some good news there. Jason Harrington, who's a construction guy, that's an important industry. Person of note, Brian O'Leary with NBC Universal. And, you know, Jim, we've talked about film subsidies, and they're a big line item in the state budget and something that we definitely feel should be cut out completely, especially in this time of economic struggle. But with a seat at the table there for the Economic Recovery Council, you can bet that that the folks in the film industry will be pushing very hard to continue those subsidies. So that's something that, it's not a surprise. The film industry has been in her corner from day one. And Michelle Lujan Grisham, the governor, has pushed very hard for more subsidies to Hollywood. It's something that we definitely have an issue with. And it would be nice if we at least had the information as to how much of an advocate for his industry he was being. Peter Trevisani, the New Mexico United soccer team, and it is worth noting that they got, I think, $4.1 million in the last budget for the potential stadium that they're looking at. You know, they're not on the taxpayer dime the same way as film, but and you know, we want to see professional sports and isotopes and whatnot get started, the Lobos, et cetera, but you know, it is worth noting that he also got some money in the last budget. Agriculture, a banker, you know, some oil and gas folks, and there's a labor union guy, which isn't a surprise as well. So that's the general run through. I encourage folks again to go to the list, newmexico.gov, and they can find more about the Economic Recovery Council. Of course, unless they know them personally and have a personal email address, there's very little they can do in terms of reaching out to these folks aside from trying to send messages through the governor's staff.
Paul, has there been any other information put out by the governor's office about what this group will be discussing and if that will be published? Or are they just going to be kind of meeting in secret, not taking any input, and therefore those are the issues you have with them?
There is supposed to be, as I understand it, minutes will not be produced. So you won't have a kind of line by line, blow by blow of what the members are saying, but you will have kind of a summary document produced of each meeting, which it's really not the way things should be done in government. It's just that's a fact. It's definitely, I think, the governor has opened up a can of worms here that I don't know why she is pursuing it this way, but she's going to get enough criticism, not just from conservatives and limited government types like myself, who quite frankly, you know, we're in the minority in this state. And I think the good government types, the people who value open government, New Mexico Fog and the like, those folks are going to really be pushing back on the governor here. And we'll see, you know, this is an evolutionary process. It's not written in stone that this has to be the way things are done, but she's definitely going to get some pushback here.
You bet. Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation, on ABQ Connect this afternoon. Stay with us. More from Paul right after these messages.
Calvary College is now open for registration. Calvary College is offering select online classes as an opportunity for individuals to take their life's calling to a whole new level with an educational emphasis in biblical studies. With our unique partnerships with Veritas International University and Calvary Chapel University, you will have the opportunity to obtain your bachelor's or master's degree with complete online programs. Whether you're looking to obtain an accredited online degree or take individual courses to become better equipped in your knowledge of God's unchangeable truth, Calvary College has you covered with a range of opportunities. On-site classes are scheduled to begin in 2021. For updates on classes and registration information for Calvary College, please visit calvaryabq.college. That's calvaryabq.college. For Calvary College, calvaryabq.college.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be your most trusted, locally owned and operated mortgage company. For years, you've heard me encourage you to shop your mortgage around. Well, the CFPB, which is the governing body for all financial institutions, completed a nationwide survey and concluded that 70% of borrowers did not shop their mortgage. And because of this, they overpaid in fees to the tune of $30 billion. The worst part is, the survey only looked at fees and not what a higher rate would cost over the life of the mortgage. Never assume your lender is offering you the best deal. And remember that big banks and big internet lenders are the worst offenders, no matter if they mention how highly ranked they are. Don't overpay in fees and don't take a higher rate than what you deserve. Shop around and be sure to include your local trusted lender, Indigo Mortgage. Call 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 188-348.
A Harvest America Moment with Pastor Greg Laurie.
Remember how the mighty Samson was defeated? He was defeated by a woman named Delilah. And he thought it was a joke, Delilah. I mean, I kill Philistines for entertainment. What is she going to do to me? A petite young lady? You say, how do you know that? Because her name Delilah meant delicate. She walks up to him and says, why don't you tell me the secret of your strength so I might torment you? He's like, oh. He underestimated her. And it resulted in him having his eyes gouged out, being defeated. So that's how sin comes. It comes in a way that doesn't seem so threatening, right? But you need to call it what it is. Sin is sin.
Impact your world with the gospel by knowing God and making Him known. Connect with Pastor Greg Laurie and sign up to receive his free daily devotion emails. To get started, visit harvest.org today.
Listen to this hotspot as Skip Heitzig shares a lesson about owning your faith.
So he is mentored by this priest. He becomes king himself. Joash, Jehoash.
So now you have a politician with a godly background. He does what is right in the sight of the Lord.
The story doesn't end there.
But his righteousness only lasts while his mentor lasts. When his mentor dies, when the priest dies, he starts taking on the values of the people around him.
Find more from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
If your faith is only propped up by others, you will stumble when those props are gone.
Now this from Skip about deep roots.
You need to come to a place where you build your own roots, man, and you stand before God yourself, man or woman of God, and you are getting the strength directly from the Holy Spirit so that when they die or if they fall or something happens, your faith is not shaken. Your faith is not shaken.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for staying with us on ABQ Connect this afternoon. Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation, on the phone with us this afternoon. Paul, mid-April, you came out with about 8 points that you made that you suggested the governor take action on, which were things like opening up the 35 national parks in the state of New Mexico. How's the governor doing on those 8 points now?
Well, as usual, it's been a mixed bag. We did have 8 points, and this was, you know, preceding our fairly open website, which we discussed briefly earlier, and we're going to talk a little bit more later. Fairly open is more of a systematic approach to opening New Mexico and its economy. These 8 points were things we just said in mid-April. This is stuff that needs to be addressed immediately. There is probably never really a justification for shutting a lot of these things down based on even the rudimentary science that we had at the outset. And these were things that we felt needed to be addressed immediately. The state parks, as you mentioned, now there's 35 state parks. About half of those involve water, big lakes and whatnot. She's opened up several of them. As I understand it, and I haven't been updated just yet today, but Elephant Butte, which is kind of the most notable lake in the state of New Mexico, to my knowledge, has not been opened up. At least it wasn't open this weekend. And you know, that is a huge concern question, why specifically Elephant Butte has not been opened up. I mean, you talk about social isolating, and there's no better way to socially isolate than getting out on a lake and a boat and just going fishing or doing whatever you're doing. For starters, that's one thing. But secondarily, again, the virus has really limited capacity to spread out of doors. And, we're seeing summer really kicking in here in New Mexico as May gets rolling. That heat is great for killing the virus. And, it's warm enough here in Albuquerque. Elephant Butte's a good couple hours south, and it's even warmer down there. I think we need to really get as many of those state parks open so people can get out on them and do their socially isolating in a more fun way. And speaking of that, golf courses, she did open those up. Again, we wanted that much earlier. We don't think there was really ever a justification for shutting all the golf courses. Nurseries, there's still limitations on them. I think if you're going to have Lowe's and Home Depot open, nurseries should be open as well. The gun stores she did open. Mm-hmm. And these are all 8 points. They're available at heirsofenchantment.com. It's an older post, but it's from, like I said, mid-April, April the 13th. So you can find out all the details there. Liquor stores, to my knowledge, she has not reopened those, which doesn't make a lot of sense to us. Of course, restaurants, I know Mayor Keller here in Albuquerque is talking about 50% capacity and whatnot. I think that's a good start. Not sure why the governor has been slow to react and why she hasn't been looking for more ways to get more restaurants open. Of course, churches. She really hasn't done anything to expand churches and their ability to have their services and whatnot. And that is a really unfortunate one. Mm-hmm. And then the medical facilities. We talked about that earlier, getting those folks back in business. And one that is notable for those who have furry friends and their families, dogs and cat grooming, and veterinarians are back open. And you know, it's one of those concerns that you know, a lot of us take our animal companions and their well-being very seriously. And if you don't have the ability to go get their nails trimmed and other medical procedures done on your animals, I mean, I've lost a dog recently where she'd gotten old and whatnot. That can be a very emotional, very draining situation. And with everything else going on, the social isolation and having an animal potentially in need or not being able to have important care done for them, that I think it's underappreciated by folks. And I am glad that wasn't in our original 8. It's something we kind of flagged a little bit later, but the governor did reopen those folks as of last week. Real quick note on all that, while that's the rest of New Mexico, the Four Corners region has not seen facilities like golf courses reopen. That's, of course, the hot spot here in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And, folks in McKinley and San Juan counties, to name a couple, are certainly Gallup's on an extreme version of lockdown, but some of those liberalizing orders have not been enacted in the Four Corners area of our state. So it is a little different up there.
Paul, you're always a plethora of information for us, so we're going to take another break.
Yeah, there's so much going on. It's tricky to keep up with.
You bet. We're going to take one more break and be back with a nice long segment for the final segment of the show. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing right back after these messages.
Can church still happen when church is closed? It already is. With Calvary Church at Home, all regularly scheduled Calvary Church services are still happening. Our midweek and weekend services are broadcast online at live.calvarynm.church so we can continue to pray, worship, and receive biblical teaching even when we can't gather together as a congregation. So don't miss worship with battle drums. Plus a fresh teaching from Pastor Skip Heitzig on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m., Saturdays at 6:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8, 9:45, or 11 a.m. During Calvary at Home services, you can engage in live chat with Calvary Church pastors, submit prayer requests, and let us know how we can help you with your next step in growing in your relationship with Jesus and people. And if you're healthy and willing, host or join a watch party with 5 or fewer friends, neighbors, or family members. And join us together for Calvary Church at Home at live.calvarynm.church.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Ever walk into a movie late? You may never catch up on the plot. Well, same's true of the Bible. Miss the opening book and you'll have questions all the way through.
Genesis is the foundation. It's the ground floor. If we don't understand the book of Genesis, we won't understand what follows the book of Genesis.
That's Skip Heitzig reminding that our redemption through Jesus' death and resurrection starts in the book of Genesis.
God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It's a promise of the Redeemer. It's the seed plot of the rest of the Bible.
Rediscover the foundation of your faith. In Skip Heitzig's book, you can understand the book of Genesis. Our gift to you when you give $35 or more today to help keep this ministry on the air. Request your copy when you give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer. Or you can call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
This week on Bless Israel with Yael Eckstein.
During this coronavirus crisis, who's forgotten? Exactly those elderly that the Bible tells us not to forget.
Join us for Bless Israel, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews at helpjewishpeople.org.
How do we handle circumstances that leave us suddenly feeling out of control and frightened?
That question from Billy Graham is especially relevant now as we struggle with COVID-19. Do you feel out of control and frightened as you worry about your health, that of your loved ones, maybe your job, the economy.
Events have the potential to turn our world upside down, and often tragedy strikes without warning. Few of us are prepared for the worst when it comes. We have the storms of life, but we can have God's peace in our hearts, and we can sleep because we have our trust in God. He never abandons us.
You can have that peace today, and it starts with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Learn more at findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. And it's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
The president of the Rio Grande Foundation, Paul Gessing, on the phone with us this afternoon. And I want to let all of our listeners know that if you want a great resource for finding out what's going on in state politics and the economy and all kinds of other information, go to the RioGrandeFoundation.org. It's also, I believe, an organization you need to consider supporting because they provide a lot of bipartisan information. And I really think it's amazing to just spend some time on that website. Paul, we appreciate your time. And let's go now and talk a little bit about your fairly open plan and how to get New Mexico back rolling in business.
Yeah, and again, if folks do support the general concept here, they can sign the petition to the governor to Fairly Open New Mexico, fairlyopen.com. And of course, you know, what we're trying to do is reinstitute a more bottom-up approach to New Mexico's economy. And, you know, again, as I discussed earlier, kind of that's the whole approach of the Rio Grande Foundation. We believe that individuals, businesses, folks who are making their money how to spend that money, that they can make the best decisions, not government officials of either party kind of creating dictates and laws that may apply well in one part of our state or one part of our country for that matter, as opposed to where we go and bottom up. So just the bottom up approach as opposed to the top down is the general theme here. And you know, we do have hot spots in the Four Corners. We should allow counties, maybe not cities, maybe cities, I don't know, but we emphasize counties. There are counties where there are few to no cases of COVID-19. There are counties where it's a very intense situation. Mm-hmm. A lot of counties should be able to reopen and use guidelines, hopefully created by the governor and her team, to reopen their area of the state. It simply makes no sense to have a one-size-fits-all situation in place. The governor should be more open. She should have virtual meetings at which she actually answers questions. Now, it doesn't have to be a free-for-all, mm-hmm. but it could be a situation where public officials, county-level officials, and others across the state can actually question the data, present their own information, and whatnot. I just think the weekly or twice a week lectures from the governor are not the best approach, and it definitely gives a sense of being, you know, kind of lectured to from a parent about, you know, this is the way we should do things, and you, if you don't do it my way, you're going to get punished. It doesn't look very good. And of course, the businesses. What science are we using to shut down businesses or reopen businesses? And I think both need to be considered. They need to be publicly available so that we know that the businesses are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And that, you know, we have a whole team of inspectors that are supposed to be working. We could even repurpose city or state or county employees to just go and casually look at what's being done at businesses. Are they socially distancing? You could go in with an iPhone and simply take pictures. And if there's obvious cases of a lack of social distancing going on, then you can have that situation addressed with the individual business. But obviously, you know, it's the whole approach that businesses have a very strong interest in abiding by laws and not getting their employees or their customers sick, not making them feel uncomfortable. And it's just being kind of thrown to the wayside here by a lot of government officials and, you know, quite frankly, folks on the left side of the political spectrum in general seem to think that all these business owners and businesses and the people kind of arguing for a more open state, that all they want is to get more money. Well, you know, the reality is that if businesses don't do things right, if they don't open correctly and pay taxes, then where's the government money going to come from? Where are the government programs that all these folks want to see in place? Where is that going to come from? And nowhere is that more critical than New Mexico, because you know, we do have a large impoverished population. We have a lot of government programs. It's why our government is so big to begin with. But the thing that has traditionally funded it all is the oil and gas industry. And with the price of a barrel of oil still below break even for producers in New Mexico, a large chunk, 40% of our state budget has essentially gone away. And it's going to be really interesting to see where we go in the future for New Mexico and its economy, because I don't think oil is going to come back in the same way that it has. And it's going to be fascinating to watch.
Paul, I know that you use a lot of data, a lot of statistical evidence in the things that you present and the things that you research. I've heard it said that 33.3% of all statistics used in public speaking are made up on the spot.
Ha!
Tell me what you think about all of this data and how it might have political purposes as opposed to being real science.
Well, you can go on to a lot of websites, and I would encourage folks to generally be very cautious and skeptical, because a lot of folks out there are using data incorrectly. And but World O-Meters is a website, worldometers.info. Basically, it's got data tracking coronavirus deaths both internationally and, well, not just deaths. It's got cases, new cases, deaths, new deaths. I mean, it's got a ton of information. But what I always do when I go to this coronavirus tracking page is look at deaths per 1 million population, because there's a lot of different ways you can use information, and I think it has to be used correctly. You know, we could argue, and we could do an entire podcast with some medical professionals about the way coronavirus deaths are being reported. But a death is a tangible result of exposure and, you know, sickness with a virus. You can't really use the number of cases or the percent of your population that has a case of coronavirus effectively, because a lot of people are out there, they don't even know they have it. They're not getting tested. We very much are suffering from a lot of ignorance in our society about statistics and how they work. And the bare bones bottom line is that you can't use aggregate data in terms of statistics for, say, counties in New Mexico. Well, Bernalillo County is by far and away the most populous county in the state of New Mexico, so we're inevitably going to have a lot of cases. Now, McKinley County and the fact that they have so many cases as a relatively small county is definitely troubling. But then there's Lincoln County, which basically has no cases. And if you look at that by per the population, so a million people, and some of these counties, you know, 2 million people in the state of New Mexico. So obviously we're dealing with way below a million population. We just have so few cases in a lot of New Mexico that we really need to look at per population data. That's not the way it's provided on the health department's website. It has been misrepresented in a lot of different contexts. You know, for example, South Dakota, how do you compare them with New Mexico? Well, as I look at it right now, they have 20 deaths per million, and New Mexico, unfortunately, is up to 59 deaths per million. North Dakota is a very similar state in a lot of ways. Now, further, and I know we're running out of time, but you further unpack that data and look at, well, where are the deaths and the issues concentrated? Well, it's typically up on the Navajo Rez and in the Four Corners, and that's something that needs to be considered as well. So this whole situation needs to be considered very carefully with an eye towards statistics and understanding percentage of a population of a million people is the best way to do things. Just saying, oh, the United States has the most cases of coronavirus on the planet as a country, that doesn't tell me anything at all, given population differences, given that we don't trust anything coming out of the Chinese government. So there's a lot of issues both on the front end in terms of the data quality and on the back end in terms of how you manipulate and use that data. And there's ways to do it in a sensible fashion, like deaths per million. And there's ways that involve, I think, what's called, you know, data malfeasance or trying to get to bend the data to tell your story. And I think we all as Americans, I think our education system needs to do a better job of showing people how to use and read basic data, because it really is important for making day-to-day decisions in our lives. Data is critical, and it's been exposed here with this coronavirus situation.
Paul, I got to totally shift gears to probably the most important topic we can talk about today. You have two children and a beautiful wife. Mother's Day is Sunday. What's going on at the Guessing House for Mother's Day?
Well, the kids are, as usual, making their homemade arts and crafts. I may be doing a homemade card for the first time in a while. just the idea of going out to specifically rub shoulders at the local drugstore isn't necessarily a great option. Of course, you know, breakfast in bed or some kind of food being prepared is a good option as well. And we'll figure things out. But yeah, it'll be a different Mother's Day from what we've had in the past. And you know, Jim, you may not be aware of this. You're probably not, but my birthday always closely follows the Mother's Day time frame. So I'm May 18th here and coming around the corner as well. Obviously, a lot of people have seen holidays and special occasions kind of go by the wayside in this crisis. You know, graduates, of course, being a most notable group of folks who are kind of finding alternative ways to do things. And it's going to take some creativity, and I think that can be fun and exciting as well. My hope is that we'll see even more opening of New Mexico's economy on May the 15th, and we'll just celebrate that and the openness of New Mexico's economy on my birthday.
Well, this is a happy birthday, happy early birthday, Paul, and I understand you're 25, right?
Add two decades onto that, and you've got actually my exact age. So
there you go. Well, you're still a young guy, man. Wait till you get over 60. It's a different experience. But hey, I want to also remind everybody listening today that Mother's Day is different this year. We all know that. Saturday, May 9th at 6:30 p.m. And again, Sunday, May 10th at 9 and 11:30, we're having drive-up Mother's Day services in the East parking lot at Calvary Albuquerque, the Osuna campus. Tickets are free, but they're limited to 900 cars per service. Go to eventbrite.com and buy your Mother's Day service tickets. It was really a lot of fun for Easter. So if you're interested in the Mother's Day celebration this Saturday evening and then again Sunday morning Mother's Day, please sign up at eventbrite.com. Paul, thank you so much for spending time with us, and we hope to see you back on the program here in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.